Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Andrew, thank you very much for that. Now, Parkinson's Ireland has warned that its services are at risk due to the low level of state funding. Around 15,000 people have Parkinson's disease, and it's the fastest growing neurological condition. Currently, it has no cure. One woman with the condition says she's very concerned about any potential cut to services, and she's been speaking to our reporter, Una Kelly.
Yes, Sarah, this is 59-year-old Brando O'Connell from Dublin. Now, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's in July last year, and she says the services she has used through Parkinson's Ireland were not just a helpline, but a lifeline for her. In March 2020, she'd had surgery for breast cancer. Several months later, she noticed her right arm had stopped swinging, and initially she had put that down to a result of the surgery. But over the coming months, she was experiencing vertigo, some difficulties in handwriting and simple tasks like brushing her teeth. So feeling that something wasn't quite right in her body, she insisted on being referred to a neurologist. It took several months to get that appointment, and then she finally got the diagnosis in July last year of Parkinson's. I asked her whether she thinks there's enough awareness around the condition.
Definitely not, because I think of Parkinson's as an old man with a tremor or stiff, you know, gait, problems with gait. So I never associated Parkinson's with a young woman under 60. So I was shocked to get that diagnosis, and I knew nothing about it. You look at somebody like me and you think, you know, tremor and stiffness and that, but to be honest, there's more issues around anxiety, apathy, people get insomnia. There's 40 different symptoms and not everybody gets everything. But I have never had issues around anxiety until the last couple of years. So I've had to, that's been a bit of a challenge as well. But it's not that I'm depressed because I have Parkinson's. There's a lack of dopamine. You know, you lose like nearly 70% of your dopamine, which is your joy in life. So it causes anxiety and stress. So you have to learn to manage those symptoms in whatever way you can. So that's been very tricky.
Can you tell me a bit more about when you got the diagnosis, what that was like for you?
Well, to be honest, it was a big relief because I had spent a year feeling really unlistened to, and I was very stressed over the whole thing. So it was an actual relief for me, but a massive shock for all my family. But after one day of thinking, the next day when it kind of hit me, I just thought, I need information, I need to do something. So I thought of Parkinson's Ireland, and I found the helpline number and spoke to Pauline, amazing woman, and she promised a call back from Lisa Wynne, the Parkinson's nurse, and Rochelle Flanagan, the dietitian. And I had both of those calls within the next 24 hours. So basically 48 hours between diagnosis. I never looked back after that because I felt that I had, the association had my back, and that I was promised I could contact them anytime. And I got signed up then for a 4-week program with Lisa Wynne for newly diagnosed patients, which gives emphasis on the education, your medication, how to take it, because the neurologist sent me home with a prescription, no information. I didn't know when to take the tablet, so Lisa goes through all of that, and crucially the importance of exercise. And then Rochelle explained all about the type of diet we're supposed to follow, the Mediterranean diet, what to eat, kind of what not to eat. It was amazing. It's like a well-oiled machine behind that initial call.
So that's Brenda O'Connell there describing really how very useful the helpline was for her. Now, Parkinson's Ireland, Una, are warning this service could be at risk.
They are, and Brenda says she's outraged as she feels that that's such a fundamental service. You know, the helpline, she says, was the best help that she's had so far. She did say to me that she was referred to the movement clinic in the Mater Public Hospital in Dublin after she got her diagnosis, but she's only going to have the first appointment in July. So that's a full year after her diagnosis. So Parkinson's Ireland is a charity that she thinks fills in the gap, really, for people who are newly diagnosed. The charity at the moment receives around €70,000 in state funding each year, but they said this is just around 10% of its overall income. And they also told me that on average, other neurological charities get around 50% of their annual income from the government. The charity's chief executive, Shane O'Brien, said it has applied to the HSE for around 120,000 extra euros of funding, and that without this, their services are at risk of being cut. Services like that free Parkinson's disease support line, which is staffed by nurses and a part-time dietitian. And Shane O'Brien said this funding will be critical for the future.
What's really crucial to say is that demand for our services is actually growing. So we need to be building capacity rather than making cuts to our services. I listened with interest to the new Taoiseach's speech where he referenced disabilities, and he mentioned that there's going to be a cabinet committee on disability, and he mentioned two very pertinent things to our situation. Firstly, that the government wouldn't operate in silos for people with disabilities, and secondly, that there would be faster progress on resolving issues for people with disabilities. So this is an acid test to see now if there can be fast progress on resolving what's a very urgent issue for us. There is money in the country. Parkinson's services should be prioritised. My message to the government is people with Parkinson's need services now. Today is the rainy day for people that depend on our services.
You mentioned possibly having to cut services. What do you mean? What exactly might happen?
So at the minute, we receive between 1,500 to 2,000 calls per month to our helpline. And as I mentioned, we're seeing a growth month on month. But due to our deficit, it's only a matter of time before we have to start making decisions around things like staff and around the amount of resources that we can allocate to the helpline. So it's a situation that we don't want to be in, but we can't seem to get an answer on our funding application. So we have no other choice but to speak about these issues. And I do want to say also that the HSE are in a difficult position. There's a shortfall in their budget, and there needs to be more money spent on Parkinson's and more money spent on disability in general.
That was Shane O'Brien there, the CEO of Parkinson's Ireland, about their funding situation at the moment. Now, the HSE said in response it funds a range of community services and supports for people with Parkinson's, including through acute and primary care. It said it has received a number of business cases from Parkinson's Ireland, and the HSE also said that funding requests will need to be considered in the context of the overall neuro-rehabilitation strategy. Now, Shane O'Brien pointed out to me that he believes in the long term, their charity actually saves the government money as they help people cope with the condition at home and stay out of hospital. Self-management and living well with Parkinson's is the focus of nurse specialist Lisa Wynn. Now, the numbers of people diagnosed with the condition are predicted to double by 2040. That's partly due to our ageing population. And Lisa Wynn says perceptions of Parkinson's are changing, but there needs to be more education.
The awareness globally is quite poor in Parkinson's, and it's among the general public, but it's also among health professionals, because it's not something that is covered enough or in detail through nursing colleges or when you're working in a hospital environment. It's very rarely that you receive any education on Parkinson's.
Why?
So it's not just, I don't know, the awareness isn't there, the education's not there. It's not something that was ever covered for more than an hour, I think, in a lecture when I was in college in nursing. And I'm not sure why it's not picked up on more, because we come across it so much when we work in the hospitals and in the community. And as we all get older, there's going to be more and more Parkinson's being diagnosed through the population as the population ages. So it's really, it should be something at the forefront, I suppose, in training.
There is an increase in people being diagnosed with Parkinson's in Ireland and globally. What do you put that down to? Is it maybe that people previously dismissed symptoms?
Yeah, I think it's a combination, I suppose. So it's that people are a little bit more aware of potential symptoms of Parkinson's. It's that professionals are getting better at diagnosing it as well. And also because the population is aging, there's more people presenting with symptoms, even though it can be diagnosed in the age of somebody in their 20s and upwards.
How possible do you think it will be to find the cause and the cure?
So the cure has to come after we find the reason for Parkinson's. So there's a lot of research, especially with the Michael J. Fox Foundation, going into the diagnosis techniques and possible contributors to Parkinson's. Genetics, environmental, and then the unknown cause has to be found before we can actually look at a cure. So if we don't know what's causing it, we can't cure it just yet. But I think it's working towards it, and it's working very positively towards it. So in the not too distant future, hopefully.
And that is Lisa Wynn, specialist nurse with Parkinson's Ireland, finishing that report from Una Kelly.